You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As if they don't have too much on their plates, the Kings of Combat Sports Podcast, John and Wade. They talk about the things they did that day. They'll analyze the work of Triple H. Rewind to SmackDown. 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 Rewind to SmackDown.
Such soothing music.
It is, yep, the voice of the Identity Crisis. Who I'm thinking about. Because he actually suffered a very personal loss today. So I am that voice you hear every single week who graces this show with that wonderful song. Let's send our well wishes to Paul.
Yes, a huge contributor to this show in its lineage, and yes, all of our best thoughts to him during this time. Well, Wade, we are going to be talking about SmackDown from the Three Arena in Dublin, Ireland. But if you're just tuning in here on the YouTube channel, hope you're subscribed, and maybe you want to make that leap to the Post Wrestling Cafe, because what comes with your cafe access? Well, you get the XL version of Rewind to SmackDown, and that comes with a bonus 30 minutes of news off the top, where tonight, Wade and I chatting about the TMZ story about an investigation into Hulk Hogan's death. Will Ospreay stating, you know, he will be getting neck surgery after Forbidden Door, after this match at after Forbidden Door on Sunday. So big discussion on Will Ospreay, as well as the latest wrinkle in the Janelle Grant, Carlin Colker issues, and Janelle Grant's medical records that were briefly filed that Brandon Thurston reported on. The latest when it comes to WWE and ESPN, with some notes that we heard about, and Tony Khan's media call on Thursday. You won't believe what Tony Khan said about Yoda Tsuji.
Right. What he said and what he didn't say, which I think
is sometimes the art of these calls, is what they don't say. Is more noteworthy.
Yeah. But interesting conversation about just the difference in Tony Khan's handling of these sort of WWE competition questions in the media versus how he used to handle them. So that's all in the XL edition. Also,
he knew how to speak in sound bites.
Oh, jeez.
I do like that one.
That's a good one. Also, of course, we just released two very big bonuses on the Post Wrestling Cafe. First of all, Peacemaker is back. Are you watching Peacemaker, John?
You know what? I never watched Peacemaker, but I've seen clips of season two, and John Cena comes off like he's very funny. I'm kind of intrigued to watch this. Have you seen the first season?
I have. I think it's the best thing John Cena's done.
Okay. Well, if great. I'm curious to watch it now, and I wasn't when this series began. So I might give this season one a viewing now that the second one is. It, has the whole second season dropped, or are they just releasing episodes weekly?
It's HBO Max, so that I'm not exactly. I think it's actually week by week. Actually,
okay,
it's not the whole thing. So got season it. Two is out right now on HBO. But if you want a little bit of a refresher on season one, DCU Later is out with Rich Van W.H. Park talking about Peacemaker season one, giving their thoughts on it, seeing his performance, and their thoughts on what they hope to come will be there in season two. So that is out right now for all Cafe patrons. Also, John Pollock and I went back to 2001 on this week's Rewind Away, talking about Shane McMahon versus Kurt Angle, Edge winning the King of the Ring way back when, think of all the history between Cope and Christian leading all the way up until now, but it started from, at least their singles run started with Cope's win.
Two young assholes.
That's right. Yes. And of course, a main event with Steve Austin taking on Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho in the very beginning stages of the WCW invasion. So that is on this week's Rewind Away.
Yes, of all the healthy bodies that they had left in June of 2001, most of them came out of this show injured. So we will talk about that. The prelude to the disastrous invasion, Shane McMahon and the WWF taking on the New Jersey State Athletic Control Board, and so much more, from Uncle Cracker to Billy Gunn on WWF New York duty. It is a doozy of a Rewind Away.
I love this era, and so much so that... I hope you guys don't get intimidated by the runtime of this particular podcast. It's somehow John and I, we talked for almost the entire length of the pay-per-view. So put it on in the background. Listen to us do the podcast.
Yeah, it was one of those shows where it ended and we looked at the time and we could not believe that we spoke that long about this event presented by Combos, of course. So check out all of those shows. And Wei and I are going to be live. Well, we should say Saturday night, special guest that Kate from Montreal is welcoming on Collision Course, this jacked edition of Collision. Wei wanted in on that. He wanted to chat Konosuke Takeshita and Tomohiro Ishii. So Wei is going to be joining Kate Saturday night on the cafe. And then Sunday, two free shows coming your Wei. Mr. Ting and I will be live right after Forbidden Door at whatever time it ends, sometime late afternoon, early evening. And then late Sunday night, Braden and Davey will have an NXT Heatwave review for you.
Yeah. Busy, busy, busy weekend. But what else is new here in professional wrestling?
Nothing. Nothing is new in professional wrestling. Just a lot. By the Wei, you'll also get my mini Canada's Wonderland trip from Friday. While John Pollock was out in the wild today, no less than four pro wrestling or pro wrestling adjacent shirts that I ran into at Canada's Wonderland. We got a Steve Austin shirt, a Cody Rhodes shirt, a Jey Uso shirt. But then, folks, I say wrestling adjacent, TKO adjacent, a Dustin Poirier shirt. It's like, I was not ready for all of these, but it was interesting. So,
okay. So TKO making money from all of those four.
If I can say, other than the Austin one, all the others look like unofficial shirts. So I can only hope that these are all like bootleg shirts, that they are not directly going to TKO. That would be my thought.
Okay. Well, a sign of success.
It does not surprise me at all.
So. Instead of yeet, it says like.
And these were young people too. These weren't like, you know, 50s just walking around with their old wrestling shirts either. So it was interesting. On to SmackDown we go. From the Three Arena in Dublin, Ireland, a sellout. WrestleTix announcing 9,151. That sounded like 59,151. And here to start the show, the lines have been drawn, folks. This Raw SmackDown divide, can it hold up to international waters? No, it cannot, because Becky Lynch comes out, and my God, the reaction that she got. The whole crowd is singing, and Becky just grabs the mic. Look at us, lads, we're on the telly, and they go wild. It was like the most like babyface-friendly Becky Lynch, and she promotes this, the first televised live event from Ireland, WWE live event from Ireland, and mentions how she used to come to this arena, and one time she made eye contact with Randy Orton. It made her year. And then, boom, she says, none of you fans deserve this. I tried to get this show canceled, and boom. It was like the audience all understood, oh, she's the heel now. Fuck her. And they just went nuts. The crowd starts chanting for Lyra. Becky says, "I beat her. She never gets another title shot. None of you have a face for television. I was aghast at the lack of media coverage I received." They're chanting, "Shut the fuck up." And she, dude, Becky was so, she played off of every chant like nothing. She's yelling back at them after the swearing, saying there's children in the audience, and says, "I've been let down by each and every one of you." So they chant, "Who are you? I'm a New York Times bestseller, and I've got a hot American husband." Then they chant for Punk. She shoots him down. Then she takes a shot at the media, writing all these pieces about Katie Taylor. "Yeah, yeah, she might be a good boxer, but can she cut a promo?" And they chant Katie Taylor. Dude, this was the best promo. Becky Lynch, this might have been my favorite segment she has done as a heel in the entire period since her turn. I thought she was so fantastic here. To go out and turn yourself in Dublin, and the way they did, and she, it wasn't just that, it was just how quick she was on her feet to react to every chant. Like, she really does have, like, there's several of them who are very good. Like, Cena is very good at just boom, right off the cuff, can work off the crowd, and some people are terrible at it, but man, Becky was just on in this segment.
It's been a great week for WWE heel female wrestlers who start their promos off with the most heartwarming of, you know, babyface sort of like tones, and then just all of a sudden turn on the crowd.
I didn't even put the two and two together. Yeah, I mean, we really did get two great examples of it.
I mean, but in the end, you know, you can ask, okay, was this truly a heel promo, or was it so entertaining that it was essentially a babyface promo? Who gives a shit?
I bet this crowd left this arena and they're like, "We had the time of our life during that."
Exactly. Who gives a shit? It's entertaining. These people paid money to be entertained, and this person delivered entertainment by giving us a great roast, you know, of this entire crowd. To me, it's a marvel seeing her at work here without this sort of like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm sure there is some scripting here, but so much of it felt like it was flowing from
her. Oh, I bet
directly.
A lot of this was like the responses to me were all off the cuff. Like, there's no way she could have anticipated CM Punk chants or it was very interesting because obviously the Katie Taylor thing was very deliberate that she introduced there, and it would be really interesting. Like maybe she just had that in her back pocket, but she brought up Katie Taylor again backstage. And I mean,
maybe a future TKO boxing prospect.
I mean, she's an Eddie Hearn boxer. I mean, that would be a big get for TKO. But I mean, it's like she is like if you were going to pick like a boxer to come over, like Katie Taylor would be somebody that you would want. And it was, I thought that was very noteworthy that she brought up Katie Taylor, and it may have just been for the crowd, but I did find that interesting.
Okay. But I mean, you watch Becky Lynch in this and she just looks like she's having the time of her life, you know, just playing in front of her home country crowd and just being her best self, making fun of people, just having a blast. And it's completely infectious and made this entire thing so captivating to watch.
I mean, if things had panned out differently and this feud was still ongoing, I mean, Lyra Valkyria coming out would have just tore the house down here. Like, they were chanting for her instead. And I thought this woman had the toughest task here. Tiffany Stratton interrupts her and asks, like, she came out here and it was just endearing herself. It says, "How can you be so rude to Dublin, Ireland?" And says that Becky's on the wrong show and asks Rebecca if she can leave. And this is a real credit that this audience, they understood their role. In many other situations, I would, if I was mapping the segment out, I was like, man, this crowd could turn on Tiffany so quickly. She's going to come out and oppose Becky, and we're going to presuppose that this audience will play along with Becky as the heel, and they'll get behind Tiffany Stratton, the American babyface. But they did. Like, they got the desired reactions here out of this segment. So, I mean, it certainly worked.
I felt it was more of a credit to Becky for riling this crowd up so well that anybody who could have came out here to oppose her probably would have received a really good reaction. But Tiffany got a really strong one. They were chanting Tiffy time for her. So it all worked out as perfectly as I think they planned, as they planned.
Naya comes out next, and she makes it very clear. If the crowd was like, oh, we were to cheer Becky, then boo her, and we're to cheer Tiffany, and Naya's just like, well, Dublin does suck. And they're like, okay, we got it. She's a heel. And Stratton, you have a bigger problem. It's me. And she attacks her. Becky joins in, and Jade Cargill runs down, nailing Jack, sending her out, and Becky sneaks up from behind. Stratton comes back, and Becky just flees the ring. And this was just hilarious. Nick Aldis comes out and the crowd cheers because they all know we're getting a Becky match tonight. It's like it is the most painful pattern on SmackDown. Nick Aldis, who's booked tonight's show without a main event. This one was at least believable because this main event was literally just forced into this show in like the last 6 minutes. And we get the tag match, and the cherry on top is after Nick Aldis makes this announcement, Tessitore yells, who saw that coming? This whole crowd that cheered as soon as the man walked out with a microphone.
It's that. I mean, I wonder if they were actually cheering Nick Aldis. You know, that could have been something. But I tend to think that what you said was probably more true.
I think a lot of them realized, hey, we're not just getting a Becky promo. She's actually going to wrestle here. Yeah. So
they've really made Aldis, like, they've turned him into the Teddy Long caricature. Like a lot more this year than previous. And I just wonder if it's just lazy writing or if they actually think that there's, I don't know, some sort of babyface value attached to this sort of thing. Anyway.
Carmelo Hayes is back. A great segment overall to start the show. These first 15 minutes. And yeah. I mean, this was, let's not.
How about we just institute a rule where it says, okay, if you are near your hometown, you can come
the
over from
Raw. Doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. You get a free pass. Okay. How about that?
That should be the new collective bargaining agreement for Raw and SmackDown talent. Mm-hmm.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
We've got so much going on at the Post Wrestling Cafe. $6 a month gets you access to the full Post Wrestling experience. The newest Rewind Away will be going back to 2001 as we will review King of the Ring, featuring Edge winning the crown and Kurt Angle taking on Shane McMahon in a very well-remembered street fight. Plus, it's all of our reviews of the WWE Unreal series on Netflix, XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, and so much more. All of it can be yours at postwrestlingcafe.com. Carmelo Hayes is with Fraxium, and they tell Carmelo, you know, Miz really stole your thunder last week, and the Miz overhears this, walks in, but then Hayes stops him and defends the Miz, and we've got Joe Gacy and Dexter Lumis looming in the background, which is like their new thing now. Like they fly all over the world for maybe a chance that 20% of the audience notice them.
They might never, they don't even need to wrestle again. Just, you know, show up in these backstage segments and that's it.
They touted the ESPN deal that they're calling a moment in sports history of these two blockbuster companies coming together.
A moment. Okay. I guess technically true. Everything's a moment.
Good ad rates. So you really want to drive those ratings.
Melo Don't Miz against the Motor City Machine Guns. The winners will be put into a number one contenders match next week. And all of a sudden, the biggest babyface in this match was Mike Mizanin. The whole crowd, they're chanting, we want Miz. Miz is awesome. They just wanted to cheer the Miz. And suddenly, like, this was like Vince McMahon's dream crowd. It's like, finally, a crowd that gets it.
I was right the whole time.
So Sabin and Shelley, who are unfortunately just like the fall guys for the Miz chants.
They got some TNA chants.
They got a couple. Yeah. I mean, they were not complete afterthoughts here. So they're chanting for Miz. Miz and Hayes are arguing, and then Miz tags himself in. Hayes hits a lung blower, code breaker, onto Sabin, and then Shelley sends Hayes to the floor. Miz is still the legal man, and he capitalizes by pinning Sabin. But again, it's Hayes doing all the work. Miz gets the glory in 7 minutes and 31 seconds, and Miz and, well, Hayes reluctantly celebrates with the Miz because they did get the win here. And this was kind of as we forecasted last week. And I would say the Motor City Machine Guns were afterthoughts after this.
Unfortunately, like, I mean, because they're now pushing Mello Don't Miz, it means Fraxium and Motor City and pretty much like everybody else.
Motor City does Miz.
Yes. Yeah. It unfortunately means everybody else is taking a backseat to Mello Don't Miz right now. And you know what? It's fine. The division needs some fresh blood in it. And I think what's going on with Mello and Miz is actually pretty compelling right now. I took the finish here.
If you are going to set up a team for the Wyatts, like, the Miz and Hayes are maybe your best option at this point.
Miz especially, just given all the history that they've been introducing.
You know what? For Hayes, like, that's, like, I think that I really do not need to see the Machine Guns or DIY at this point, or even the Profits for that matter. I mean, the Wyatts are just such a odd and tough team to book a program for that, like, Miz and Hayes are probably the best candidates of all these teams you've got.
Sure. Yeah. It's not like with the Wyatts up top, it's not even so much a division that is now like selling itself based on work rate. It's more of like a storyline, sports entertainment type of.
It's like what baby faces or pseudo baby faces can survive this.
Yeah. I took the finish here to be more because the Miz, even though it was Mello doing the move, Mello was legitimately taken out of the ring, and Miz came in for the pin. He was the legal man, and he was actually like of value. He was actually of use. He didn't just come in to steal the pin. He came in and actually helped, actually did something. So I almost took the finish to be more of Mello finally maybe actually showing respect to the Miz. But, I mean, we all, I think, are teasing a turn eventually from these two. And I think, to me, the question now is, last week, I felt for sure, okay, Miz is going to turn on Mello. Mello's going to be the babyface. But after tonight's reaction, I could see things being the other way around and Miz staying the babyface.
The way you outline it logically, like, it is in the direction of, like, it's going to be Hayes that ultimately gets jealous of this guy who is actually helping the team, even if it's him, like, you know, executing the pin, for instance.
It is contingent on whether or not these crowds will respond favorably to the Miz outside of Dublin. You know, where are they next week? France.
Lyon.
So I wonder if they'll cheer the Miz more than Carmelo Hayes.
Kathy Kelly is with a father-to-be Jimmy Uso and congratulates him on the pregnancy announcement. And it's his birthday, which means it's also Jay's birthday. Sami Zayn runs in and just hugs him. And it's like, this is the first chance you've had to see him. Like, you had all day to come up and congratulate him. You waited until this live interview segment.
I think they're just in, like, their stasis pods when we don't see them on TV. They just, like, get into, like, you know, like, they're cryogenically frozen until they get to the next town.
And they are emotionally unavailable unless it's on in front of a camera.
Yeah.
And he says that the baby will have an uncle in Sammy. And then the MFTs walk in, and Solo says, the baby's going to have plenty of uncles, and you can name them after me, Solo. Jimmy says, no yeet. And Zayn warns Sokoa about his U.S. title and that you're not dealing with the underdog Sami Zayn. You're dealing with the WrestleMania main eventer, Sami Zayn.
So Solo's suggestion that they name the child after his work WWE name, I mean, might not be that far-fetched when you consider that Solo Sikoa's own middle name is Yokozuna in real life.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's his middle name, huh?
That's his middle name. I mean, the timing works out, you know, like when I guess he was born, like Yoko was champion, I'm sure, like had a tremendous influence on, I guess that's his father, certainly. His name, real name is Joseph Yokozuna Fatu.
Okay. I like it. In WWE canon, is this baby going to be referred to as Little Jim after his father's worked first name?
Little Jimmy, you mean?
Oh, wow. We will get a real Little Jimmy.
A real Little Jimmy. There's a feud.
Yeah, okay. He won't be Little John.
No, he won't be. No. We have a guy named Bron Breakker who is like, you know, from the direct, like references the direct lineage of the Steiners.
Family ties are very complicated.
All their last names are different. Like Sokoa, Reigns, like Uso, like none of them match.
Charlotte Flair took on Piper Niven and it was like the same deal as before. Instead of Miz, it was Chelsea Green that they were into for this match. Flair takes the boss man slam that Wade has to interject, used to be called the Winds of Change. And Niven misses the Vader bomb, so Flair comes back with chops and the walkover clothesline, and then delivers a crotch chop to Chelsea Green and goes to the top, lands this perfect moonsault onto Niven, who kicks out. Audience is really hot here, hits the spear, and then Green gets onto the apron, gets struck, and Charlotte applies the figure eight while Elba Fire is distracting the referee. So Green climbs in, rakes the eyes of Charlotte, and Piper hits an avalanche splash into the corner and the Michinoku driver, pinning Charlotte in 7 minutes and 33 seconds, which will set up our tag title match for next week in Paris, or no, Lyon.
I guess on paper, a bit of an upset, you know, having Piper pin Charlotte, but I mean, it makes
the right
sense.
Finish. Unlike last week where we had Alexa win and then they just laid them out afterward. I mean, not the worst thing in the world to set up a match here.
Yeah, yeah. I guess last week was done in preparation for this week where Piper was going to get the win back, and Alexa not being present, I guess being the difference maker for Charlotte losing this time around. So Alexa is announced for next week. It's not like she's injured or anything like that. I think it's maybe more commonly believed she just didn't want to be away for 2 weeks, you know, considering child and everything. That's the speculation, at least. So, are you excited for the tag match? What do you think?
I mean, especially after watching this show, I'm excited to watch like that crowd and,
yeah.
You know, and I thought Piper looked really good in here. I mean, they talked about the fact, like, Wade was going on of, like, how underrated Piper Niven is. And I think she's, like great in this role. And you can put her in all these singles matches. They're always usually entertaining TV matches. And I thought this was one of Charlotte's better TV matches of late. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I enjoyed this. Mm-hmm. Julia's with Kiana James, and Meechan enters. This is where we had Nikki Cross back in the stairwell. And Meechan complains that she's been ignored, just like everyone was ignoring Nikki Cross during this segment. And so she's going directly to the champion, but Kiana says, no, you have to go through me. And I didn't understand if this meant, like, literally, do you have to beat Kiana James for a title shot, or do you have to, like, make a meeting with the agent to, like, hash out the details? This was never clarified.
Well, you had Meechan actually say, I'm willing to beat you in order to get to her, essentially, so... It's hinting at Kiana James not just managing, but actually wrestling a match against
Meechan. So you have to beat the woman who hasn't had a match in well over a year, like 14 months, and yep. That will get you a title shot.
Basically, yeah. Well, she was on, she had a dark match. I'm sure she's still doing dark matches or whatever version of speed they might have now.
Okay.
That's enough.
Yeah.
You know there are going to be shenanigans involved.
This looks like the straight-to-DVD release of, like, a knockoff to the ring with this picture in the background.
What do you mean knockoff to the... Oh, with Nikki Cross. Yeah.
Yeah. Julia says at the end, I'm not worried.
Cool. And she's been, like... I know she's a part of this Kiana James, and Kiana James is kind of speaking on her behalf, but, they need to have Julia wrestling every single week. I don't care about, like, I know she's a heel, she's kind of ducking challenges, but, man, you need her presence to be bigger on the show, especially as a
wrestler. This has been great for Kiana James. It's been nothing for Julia. She is so less emphasized. You don't even remember that she's a champion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, this title is non-existent on this show, and I don't think they've done anything with Julia. It's given a speaking role for Kiana, but I don't think this has benefited Julia one bit so far.
Mm-hmm.
And then we more highlights of a Rollins, Punk, and Paul Levesque on ESPN throughout the week. And then it was time, as the second hour was about to begin, John Cena comes out and just tore the roof off as he comes out, gets the big introduction by Mark Nash. And then before he can speak, Logan Paul interrupts, and out comes Logan Paul. And immediately, it's always great to be back in England. And he calls the fans drunk, washed up failures. And then he's getting so much heat. Unlike Becky, where it was good heat, but it was like, we know you're performing as the heel. Mm-hmm. This was like, no, we really do hate this guy that is now playing a heel in pro wrestling, but we do legitimately hate. Mm-hmm. And he says, I could come spit in all of your faces and you do nothing, you little leprechauns. And he cuts down Cena, calling him an actor who knows how to wrestle. and he keeps getting berated by this audience, and they're censoring the crowd. And Logan points out, you're being bleeped. No one can hear you at home. But that also means they can't hear me. And they weren't lying, because they were censoring so much that, like, Logan, it was like every other word of his promo they had to cut, because they're trying. I guess Netflix, they have their standards for this, but
it's USA.
Is it USA?
Well, this is broadcast,
but this USA happens too. On Raw.
It okay, you're right. Yeah, I guess they have the rating that they have to abide by.
I guess it's just like, oh my god, is there a better way to do this? It's just, it's irritating to me.
Can AI?
It's more offensive than if I heard the word.
Can AI not figure this out already? Like, we have, like, on YouTube, you know that you can, like, watch a video and it'll automatically translate it to a different language.
WWE would never alter crowd noise.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So he runs down Cena, and I'm sure he had a long plane ride to hash out this promo in his mind. He states that I'm not an outsider after 4 years. All my matches are great. Cena, you're a corporate con. You roll over when you're told. And when I need attention, I don't have to get naked at the Oscars to do it. Cena, you've been doing the same three moves for 23 years.
Five. And
the same five moves? Is that what you said?
Five moves of doom, right?
Okay. I thought he said three moves.
Oh, maybe he said three.
He might have shortchanged them here. Cena leaves this ring and goes and pretends to be someone else in Hollywood, whereas I stay here and be myself when you call me an imposter. And then at the end, the deep cut for Wen Weiting and other Total Divas acolytes. About a cohabitation agreement, I'm not signing it because this is my house now. I mean, that was...
Hey, Logan Paul, Total Bellas fan confirmed.
Huh? Hey, I thought that... At this point, I find like the Cena Nikki Bella stuff to be like the most low-hanging fruit because it's brought up in all their promos, but I thought that was a really good line.
Oh, you have to remember that episode to get that one.
I didn't even watch that series, and I got the line because that one gets like thrown on Instagram so often. Yeah. Like that comes up in my reels all the time. Like it might be the most famous segment because it just gets... I always see that.
To this day, can we agree the best version of heel John Cena was on Total Bellas?
100%. It blew away this year. Blew away this year. 100%.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Cena gets his retort, and this is babyface Cena, where he now gets to be like... He can morph back, and he gets into his Cena.
We've just completely forgotten about everything he said about Logan when the two were teaming together. Logan Paul was put up to that. Somebody made him say that.
Just complete retconning of all that. Cena acknowledges his presence. You're a tremendous athlete. You're a future champion, a WrestleMania headliner. But it makes him upset when he's called an outsider, and says that he acknowledges, you're not an outsider. We're stuck with you. You're not leaving. The right term for you is disappointment. Instead of coming in and respecting this house, you use this as a branding opportunity to buy a new Pokemon card, as he knocks over the prime drinks at ringside. This crowd went nuts for this line.
Yeah.
Paul, you've done 23 matches. Really impressive. I've been doing this for 23 years. Not just PLEs and TVs. I do house shows, bitch. Like wrestling Sheamus here in this arena with no cameras on when you and your brother were making Vine videos. Cena asks himself one question. No matter how many moves I can do, it's how can I give more to this business? You ask yourself, how can I take from this industry? And it doesn't matter how fast you can run, how high you can jump, or creating viral videos. You're not an outsider, Logan. You're a parasite. And there's way more deserving people that I should be sharing this ring with. Dominic Mysterio, which I didn't expect to be number one, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, The Usos, Jacob Fatu. People think I'm wasting my time using one of my matches on you. You got lucky, and this is the most important match of your life. And this isn't your house, this is theirs, as he points to the fans. And Logan, regarding the cohabitation agreement, I read the news. You've got plenty of legal trouble, so you better bring your A-game to Paris, because I don't want some back-flipping YouTuber that sells salt water. And Paul pushes at John Cena, knocks the cap off, and then as he goes to charge, Cena ducks, hits the AA, and a giant pop, and a outstanding segment here from Cena and Logan Paul. I thought both were excellent in this segment. I thought it was tremendous stuff from both. It, to the point that at the end of this, the John Cena heel turn was just, I mean, I know some people are going to argue, well, look what you got by taking this version of Cena away for so many months. And granted, they paid no cost business-wise for this turn. But this was, I think this will be remembered as like a very low point of Cena's career, was this turn that did not take. And at least you have this version now, and that they didn't have the stubbornness to hold off on this any longer than they did. I'm fine with the fact that it was just boom, you're a babyface now. We're not really going to explain it, but like, the you were wasting time. Like, why throw bad money after good at this point? Like, this thing was done. Let's just get him back.
The entire world is fine with this very, you know, abrupt transition between.
This is what should have been done with Austin in the summer of 2001.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Nobody's caring about the inconsistency between what he said about Logan Paul when he was teaming up with him to what he's saying with him now, with zero explanation about why. We're just happy to see this version of John Cena, and I think everybody is fine with it. I think I will maintain that, like, I think turning Cena was a good decision, in my opinion. It was the follow-through that I think was bad. The performances that I think were bad. The promos that I think were bad from Cena.
Oh, listen, when the turn was done, I don't think anyone was second-guessing it. And I was, like, openly going into it thinking it would be a bad idea to turn this guy. But, you know, when the turn was done, like, yeah, I think everyone was very open-minded. Like, if you ever were going to turn this guy, it's certainly a choice to do it in this retirement year, but you've got the baby faces that you're not reliant on Cena in that role, that you can take this chance. But yes, it just, for many reasons, it did not work. And John Cena has been fairly honest about it too, in some of these, you know, and maybe in time he'll reflect more on this turn and just the different aspects. I wouldn't pin it all just on him. There were a lot of factors.
Yeah, but getting back to this segment, I mean, I feel like you're getting Cena at his best on the microphone in these weeks, and having a target like a Logan Paul to cut this sort of promo against was, I think, just such a treat. You know, it was like, Cena at his most scathing, and like, he's cut these sort of promos in the past, you know, that are full of a lot of truths, a lot of like, holy shit, oh, I can't believe he said that sort of moments. I think at somebody like a Logan Paul is when that style of promo hits the hardest. You know, this is the type of promo that I think we would expect out of a CM Punk, you know, pointing out the truths in it, pointing out his over sort of publicizing of his branding and completely.
But you know what I liked, Way? It's like he ran him down. He was scathing, but he never destroyed this guy. And like I'd argue, go back and watch that Roman Reigns promo he did on him years ago, and especially the Austin Theory one. It's like, dude, he just torpedoed these guys. And it's like, I'm sure his idea is, listen, I'm going to throw stuff at them. You better be ready to throw it back. And it's putting someone on their toes on live television. But man, he built up Logan huge. Like, this guy has everything. He can be a WrestleMania main eventer, but he attacked his character and not like breaking this fourth wall to just like destroy this guy and belittle him. I thought this was way more effective than some of the other examples we have seen where like, a theory has never come back from that promo.
I also think Logan has a stature and a star power that can withstand this. Like, he could say all this about him, and he's still Logan Paul at the end of the day. He's still, you know, more famous than pretty much anybody else on this roster, at least, you know, maybe John Cena excluded. But I love the reality he was able to inject into this. Whether or not you truly believe Paul is a parasite trying to fend off the business, I mean, it perfectly does encapsulate his present character of being this sort of hypocritical part-timer who thinks of himself as a veteran, which I think is hilarious. And I thought Paul himself was great at playing with this crowd and looking more and more pissed at everything that this crowd was chanting back at him. He has become just a really great heel with incredible instincts, and he was going up against the best babyface this company has produced in, well, many decades.
This promo would have been great. Like, it would have been great with Cena's retort regardless, but Logan's material set it up so much that this mm-hmm. audience, they were excited for the comeback because this guy, like, deserved it. Like, Logan did great in this segment. When Cena started listing off, like, going to live events but where the cameras aren't rolling, I thought for sure he was going to drop a Japan reference. I thought for sure he was going to
make some reference to that. Wow, that would be nice. So, that would be very nice. They have one more week. I hope we get another one.
I mean, maybe they'll doesn't Logan want to be on that tour in October? Has that not been something that he's floated out there? Because they are doing shows at Sumo Hall in October.
You mean the Japan tour?
Yes.
I don't know. Now, are those televised? Those aren't televised.
No, they're house shows.
Has he actually expressed that he wants to be at those Japan shows?
I'd have to look it up.
Okay.
He reveals on Impulsive that he has requested to be part of WWE's upcoming tour in Japan.
Interesting.
So he said that on his podcast.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So I wanted to ask you, John. Well, first of all, we don't know if Cena will be there next week because of the closing angle tonight. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he was off SmackDown and just, like, did the PLE itself. But I wanted to ask you, like, given that he's a babyface now, given how hard he went at Logan Paul in this segment, who do you think will win the match?
Oh, for Clash in Paris. Yeah. Like this promo way, I think Logan Paul can definitely withstand a loss here.
Can't you say the same about Cena?
Yeah, but I just think at this point, it's I think that this has a chance of also going on last. If you want to end the show with, like, the big babyface win, I guess that's your choice. Because we're probably getting a Rollins retaining the title on the show.
With Cena being, like, I mean, we're coming down to, like, you know, his last handful of matches. And I think, like...
Okay, here's the one caveat. If the match ends, it's Brock taking out Cena or something like that. That's how the show ends.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. But, like, you know, the whole thing is, like, okay, Cena's coming back for, like, I don't know, like, five. I'm just guessing. Like, not more than five matches, right? Like, something like that. What's the value in him beating people that are going to stick around? And I include Logan Paul in that conversation, you know?
I guess the argument now is, do you just have a bunch of losses, or do you actually build this up for, like, one big loss in the retirement?
That is the question. And the question is, who gets that final loss versus a string of people getting those wins over Cena and then having Cena hunt for that last win of his career, possibly at that last show in Boston, you know?
Yeah. And if that's where you want to go, like, they may just want to give the happy retirement win. I have a feeling that, like, they beat him in his retirement. I think that would be the way to go.
I have a feeling he loses to Paul. And he loses to Brock, and he loses to whoever, and then that last match is when he gets the win.
Could be. It could be. I don't see him being Brock at the PLE. So.
No, I don't. Yeah.
Logan runs into... first we go to the back, and Tiffany Stratton tells Jade Cargill she didn't need her help tonight, and Jade explains that, I don't want you to have any excuses because I'm coming for that title. So she's still in the title mix.
So this seems to be our next match for Stratton. Jade Cargill.
Either that or Nia Jax, because they are moving toward that match too. But that was not announced for next week either.
Jade feels like the more big, real destination, but yeah.
Yeah, Nia feels kind of like maybe TV. I mean, these both could be TV for all we know. Paul walks into Drew McIntyre, who warns him, "You're scared of Cena and his mystique. But this is not 2010. He's not Super Cena anymore. You're in your prime," and says, "You are embarrassed and you have to make it right tonight and do whatever it takes."
Mm-hmm.
Good foreshadowing here. Street Profits took on JC Mateo and Tongaloa. We had OTC chance, and man, JC Mateo, he got it from all ends in this match. So first, mm-hmm. Joe Tessitore mentions, you know, JC Mateo, some sneaky athleticism for that body type. It's like, wow, that's the most backhanded compliment I've heard in some time. Sneaky athleticism for that body type. Mm. He's real big. So Loa runs Ford's shoulder into the post. I somehow did not skip during the break. I can't tell you how little of nothing they did during this commercial break working on Ford. Like, it was so painfully obvious. We're not doing a goddamn thing, even if this crowd's going insane. Then the crowd starts chanting, "You can't wrestle," at JC Mateo. That was it for Wade Barrett. It was like, he was an Olympic wrestler. And it was like, oh my God, man. This man has just...
A crowd this knowledgeable about, like, so much, I feel knows Jeff Cobb's pedigree. And so I took this chant to mean more about, the way the match was being presently wrestled during the commercial break, but maybe more so about, like, just JC Mateo's stay in the WWE so far, where he's really done nothing except be a background player and has certainly not been any sort of impressive pro wrestler. More importantly, I think a chant like this, which, despite it being on commercial, did enough to make the rounds on the internet. It's all over this clip, you know? I think this sort of thing speaks a lot to people in the back, like Paul Levesque. You know, it says a lot to them. And so I guess what is the sort of response? You know, are they going to allow JC Mateo, Jeff Cobb, to wrestle a more interesting style? Are they going to shove him even further down the card, knowing that this audience isn't there for him? I don't know. Something tells me that they're going to try and just retool him and allow him to be a bit more spectacular. But this is a huge wake-up call to the way that they're treating him.
Yeah, it's kind of like Ren Narita. It's like, we know there's someone great in there.
They don't do You Can't Wrestle chants in Japan, unfortunately.
They just don't show up at the shows.
Yeah.
The hot tag is made to Angelo Dawkins, and Ford lands a flying knee on JC. Tala Tonga then knocks him off the top from the floor, and Solo distracts, leading to a pop-up spin cycle for a two count. Tessitore called this the Tour of the Islands, and Wade realizing the difference between the two is like, oh, it was a modified version. Don't think he got quite all of that. It's like, let's not say that he kicked out of the guy's finisher. Jimmy appears and attacks Tala with a chair. Tala then just boots the chair and sends Jimmy into the crowd. They take off. Zayn appears, yanking out Sokoa's leg from the desk and chases him away. Ford hits the Tope Kanhiro sky high from the heavens onto Mateo, and they get the win in 9 minutes and 56 seconds. There was also a secondary comment somewhere in the middle of the heat here where Mateo is hitting a standing moonsault, and again, it's Tessitore. That's surprising athleticism. I was like, that's a second time. I'm like, is he getting fed these lines? Like, hey, underneath this exterior is an athlete. This was not great for JC Mateo as a branding exercise, as Cena would call it.
Yeah, a bit of a rough night for him. But again, I mean, hopefully a bit of a wake-up call, not just for him, but like for whatever they're doing with him. I mean, that is the bigger question. Will the writers, will the booking committee give him a bigger role? Unfortunately, his role here is to really just kind of be like another Tongaloa in the group, isn't it? Like, he's there to be the sort of like B team to Tala Tonga and Solo Sikoa's A team. And that's just kind of sucks, man. Sucks for him because we all know how talented he is. But well done run-ins here. You know, I thought they put a good spotlight on Sami Zayn versus Jimmy Uso, to a lesser extent, I guess. What, Jimmy versus Jimmy and Tala Tonga? Is that the match?
Yeah, that feels like something they'll get to.
Okay, yeah.
We've got so much going on at the Post Wrestling Cafe. $6 a month gets you access to the full Post Wrestling experience. The newest Rewind Away will be going back to 2001 as we will review King of the Ring, featuring Edge winning the crown and Kurt Angle taking on Shane McMahon in a very well-remembered street fight. Plus, it's all of our reviews of the WWE Unreal series on Netflix, XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, and so much more. All of it can be yours at postwrestlingcafe.com. Aleister Black and R-Truth was supposed to be next. Black enters, and R-Truth, who they promoted all week for this match, appears on the screen. He accidentally flew to Dublin, Georgia, instead of Dublin, Ireland. Was he wearing the hat here? Was this R-Truth or Ron Killings?
This was Ron Killings would not have made this mistake, okay? Ron Killings has a great itinerary, knows exactly where he's going. He goes to the airport 3 hours ahead of time for an international flight. He knows exactly where the best lounges are, travels light, knows how to, you know, go through security without, but Ron, R-Truth, he goes to the wrong town. So, yeah.
Karrion Kross, this could be you.
So I'm trying to remember. I think hat forwards is R-Truth. Hat backwards is Ron Killings, I think.
I'm remaining in the camp of this comeback's been horrible, and they had no clue. Yeah. So in his place is his good friend Damian Priest. So he comes out, charges at Black. The bell never rings, and Black is sent to the floor. And Priest tries for a powerbomb on the desk, but security is out. As I guess this match is not an impromptu match. I guess Nick Aldis is fine just leaving a gap in the schedule here because this he had allotted this segment for a match. And they break it up. They continue to brawl all the way to the back. And that was our hotly anticipated match.
I think if you brawl like in the first hour of the show, then you stand a chance of getting a match turned into it. But like this brawl happened at like 9:30, you know, wasn't going to happen.
It's too late. There's a cutoff for Nick Aldis.
Yeah.
Even Nick Aldis can't be operating on the fly to that degree.
What do you think this is? A 3 hour SmackDown?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If this was a 3 hour SmackDown, we would have got this brawl. They would have redone it in the second hour, and maybe by the third, we'd get the match.
Be an Iron Man match, yeah.
There's a replay of Drew's attack on Cody Rhodes, and Drew shows up at the desk and gets a huge pop. The crowd loves Drew McIntyre. They're singing for him. Total babyface reaction. And Drew is asking Tessitore, what's the update on Cody Rhodes? And he gets the mic stating the update is Cody Rhodes is a little bitch and says that, Cody, you better hold that belt tight because eventually you have to fight me. And I'm one of the few that has pinned you in WWE. The next time I do it, I'm winning the title. And says that no one in the back is upset with what I did to you. They all want your spot, and Cody, you have no friends left. And the crowd just all of a sudden erupts because Randy Orton pops up. He got the right itinerary and RKO's Drew McIntyre, and the place just went insane for this spot at the end.
Mm-hmm. As long as Orton can do these RKO's, I mean, he's going to have a top position for as long as you can do this.
Which, for the guy that nearly had to retire due to a back injury, and I look at this photo, and this is the move that's going to take this guy into his 60s, apparently.
Well, hopefully this is like the only back bump he needs to take in, like, what, a month? Like, it's not like he's working house shows, you know? Like, he's...
That's true. You make those RKOs count.
Come on TV.
Not for house shows with Sheamus in 2010. No.
Come in here, do the move, and just, like, peace out until it's your match. Okay, wrestle a match, then you're gone for 6 more weeks, and then you come back, do an RKO, and then just repeat. He can get, like, 10 more years out of this.
He might. Becky is warming up with Nia coming in, and Becky says that they are still mortal enemies, and Becky needs a win tonight. They agree to be on the same page, and before Nia had walked in, this is where Becky was, like, clenching her teeth and remarking about Katie Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Next week in France, Solo Sikoa against Sami Zayn for the U.S. title, Street Profits against Melo Don't Miz in the number one contenders match, and Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss against Piper Niven and Elba Fire for the tag titles.
All right.
The main event, Becky Lynch, Nia Jax against Tiffany Stratton and Jade Cargill. I knew this was going to be condensed because I had about 7 minutes left on my Netflix feed here. Mm-hmm. So Guys, this match went 6 minutes and 23 seconds, 3 minutes of which were during the commercial break. So Becky cheap. I can't remember a main event that was this short. Becky cheap shots Jade, and Stratton hits a swanton to both women on the floor. And
oh man, this landing looks a little bit rough for Stratton.
Like she came up a bit short on it, and yeah, this was one where
like back of the head on the mat too. But hopefully she's okay.
The heels did nothing but stall during the commercial, and Becky and Jade are tagged in when they come back. Jade hit a fallaway slam and then like spun her off the shoulders into like a blue thunder bomb. Nia tags in, attacking Jade from behind, hits the senton, and then goes for the annihilator, but is stopped with a power bomb off the buckle. At this point, Becky Lynch bails, leaving Nia Jax in a 2-on-1 situation as Stratton hits the PME and Jade hits the frog splash, pinning Nia in 6 minutes and 23 seconds. I guess they weren't going to do Jaded on Nia.
I guess not yet. They might. I mean, probably saving that if they actually have a match later on. But I thought Jade overall like looked good here. You know, like she didn't have a ton to do, but like what she was able to do, save for like a sidekick that didn't really connect. I mean, everything else I thought looked quite good. This ultimately felt like a fun house show main event, or even a dark match main event. Let's be honest, you know, with six.
Yeah, I
here.
Would say there's a difference. This was more of the dark match of like here's 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. They gave this crowd a Becky Lynch wrestled match and continued some build for Stratton versus Jade, a little bit for Stratton versus Nia, but the big match does seem to be Stratton versus Jade at some point.
Yeah, I just thought this was really, really rushed for what it was. But the final scene, you knew this was coming with the foreshadowing earlier. Cena is leaving the arena. I mean, this guy's the biggest grin on his face, just like, I'm done. And Nick Aldis approaches him. I like this. He says, I just heard from Brock Lesnar. And boom, Logan Paul enters, knocking him out cold with a punch. I thought this was great. I thought this was a really strong way to end the show. You dangled the Brock announcement. You know what's coming, but you don't get to hear it. And I like this. Like you went off, great angle here with Logan, kind of getting his heat back from the promo. An amazing Nick Aldis reaction shot here. And you got to tune in to find out what the deal is with Brock. So that concluded SmackDown. That I would say I enjoyed the SmackDown a lot more than many SmackDowns of late, and mainly it was the two big promo segments, and I really liked what they did with Cena and Logan Paul, including this final 30 seconds.
Yeah, agreed. In terms of wrestling, I don't know if there's as much to be said about this particular SmackDown as maybe some others. And in terms of matches, I just don't know if I'd recommend.
Really, yeah, amazing. I would say the only thing I kind of got any enjoyment out, like Charlotte and Piper was a nice TV match. I mean, there was nothing wrong with the Machine Guns, Melo Don't Miz, but I like nothing I would say is like the recommendation category.
But the must-see segments and
it's very the two recommended promos.
Are the yeah. two promos. Absolutely.
Two great segments, two really great segments. And especially for, you know, Becky was kind of, it was because of where they were and creating this kind of, like, you're not really building to anything with her and Tiffany. It was a one-night thing. But for Cena and Logan, like, that is your big match for the pay-per-view. So very effective. Great crowd. Just great, crowd. Great, great, great crowd.
Excellent. And excellent.
Not, you know, really, I was expecting similar from Glasgow, and I think this was certainly the much hotter of the European crowds this week. So Dublin was a big hit.
Yeah, interesting.
And I'm sure next week will too. They were, you know, Lyon was a big, one of the best crowds they've had in years when they went there last year. So mm-hmm. I expect similar next week.
So what's the updated lineup so far for Clash of
Champions? Haven't got any new matches, so it's still just the four matches. I imagine we'll get at least one more left.
Cena versus Paul, Rollins versus Punk versus Jay versus Knight, that four-way. We got Sheamus and Rusev, Reigns and Reed.
What kind of match are Sheamus and Rusev engaging in?
Good old-fashioned Donnybrook match.
Don't overlook the stipulation, Way.
Of course, what remains about the Women's Championship on Raw, we'll probably find out on Monday.
Yeah, I could see that being settled at this show. You had kind of promised a women's title match on this show, and I mean, it's very rare that WWE would do a show without a women's match on it, so I could see that being added to the show. So yes, that will be next weekend's big extravaganza. But the extravaganza is coming up next. Forum.postwrestling.com. We're saying goodbye on YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. We will be back on this very channel on Sunday night, a doubleheader at Post Wrestling. Wei and I will be going live around 6 Eastern after Forbidden Door, immediately after the show concludes. And then later that night, Davey and Braden will be taking over the Post Wrestling YouTube stream with a Heatwave review with the show from Lowell, Massachusetts. So that is your Sunday night planned. Catch Wei Ting on Collision Course with Kate from Montreal as they will be going through what looks to be a really loaded Collision lineup as they go into Forbidden Door. So goodbye to YouTube.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.